Steve and Jill here.
Howdy.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny, humid Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about sticking to a calendar schedule and why it's imperative. Boring, but completely necessary and possibly fatal if you don't do it, I think.
You know what's interesting is when we're talking about this topic, I was thinking of a different version of this. This is cool because I think this is how we are different. What I was referring to was being consistent in things, and how you interpreted that is putting it on a calendar because that works for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk about this a little bit because just like men, most men and women, we see things very differently.
Yeah.
Interpret things very differently.
Or two people in any relationship.
Or just men and women. I don't care if you're related or, you know, don't have to be in a relationship or not. You know, we're gonna see things. I say whatever. I say teal and you go, green. Not you, but.
I thought you guys were going to talk about real estate. I thought this show was about real estate. I'm a first-time listener. I'm not here to talk about calendars. I'm here to talk about making money in real estate. Tell me how to do it quickly. I have other stuff to do today. No. I'll tell you what. The truth is, I'm joking around about it. This topic comes up. It's one of the top five topics that I deal with inbound from people asking me questions. And it started on our first live event. I did a module about getting organized. And, and people just, we spent three times the amount of allotted time on that and during the presentation, in the live event. And it just keeps coming up.
Well, I think people take a step back and go, how are you so successful in what you do? And a lot of it is, there's a healthy mix of A, being smart and knowing what we're doing, and B, and just getting up and doing it. That's the point, and that's where the calendar comes in.
Yeah, and we'll get into it in a second, okay. But there's a huge component of outsourcing when it's necessary, and then managing the outsourcing correctly. And I borderline want to do an education, I want to do like a 2-hour education thing on it because, and I don't have any formal training in this. I just know from screwing stuff up all throughout my career that, wow, I can't do that again. Mm-hmm. Or we got into this and it was too much because of X.
Right.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Lucas wrote, "Hey folks, I'm planning my first mailer and I had an idea, but I'm not sure if it's a good one or not. I was thinking of adding a professional headshot of myself to the top of the first page of each letter. Not sure if offerstoowners.com prints in color or not, or how well the print quality would manage a photo. I was thinking it'd be valuable to add a personal touch to the letter. Has anyone here tried that? Was it beneficial? What do you think? Thanks." To my first thought is, what?
I'm talking to the camera.
Oh, well, I'm over here. Wait, okay. Do you know what my first thought is, though?
Go ahead.
I'm on the fence. My first thought is, do you look like a supermodel? And that fantastic. And if you do, I'm still not sure it's going to send the right message. What do you think?
You got to be kidding me. What do I think about this?
Oh, I know. I know what your answer is.
What is my answer?
No way.
It's way beyond no way.
Thank you. That's what your website
is. I'm not concerned about the actual headshot on a mailer. I'm concerned about why someone would want to do this.
You know why? Because they see real estate agents doing it all the time. Remember the flyers at real estate agents? I don't know.
Everybody loves real estate agents too, by the way.
That's
right. And that works great for real estate agents.
Exactly. We're all saying the same thing.
You're being totally satirical.
I know that. And I'm agreeing with you.
While you're at it, while you're putting this headshot on there, I would actually not put it on the top of the mailer.
Excuse us while we argue here for a minute.
Add a whole page. So it's not even that there's a cover letter. It's just a picture of you. And so that they get a good look at you. You know, make sure it's a good headshot. And then since you're going to do the headshot and get a professional headshot, put it on the hood of your car as a decal.
That's not the point here. I'm trying to help Lucas, and I understand where Lucas is coming from because we've seen it and thought that it must work. And I'm not disagreeing with you. I can understand where this would come from. Hey, every real estate agent I know that hands me a business card has their photo on it. Every sign at the real estate agent has their photo on it. Maybe because I'm a professional, I should have my photo on it. So what Jack is very nicely saying is don't do that.
Where does this come from?
Where's what come from?
Lucas, I'm not picking on you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Forget it.
I told you where it comes from.
Hold on a second. I'm not knocking on Lucas at all.
Okay.
You know, he asks a question, we're answering it. And, you know, it's good to try new things. That's the truth. But where does this put my face on a sign, on a billboard?
Yeah, who started that? I don't know.
What goes on psychologically in your head that you need to put your face on a billboard to buy and sell some real estate?
Remember, it used to be on a bench, a bus bench.
I understand branding. Joe and I brand stuff every day. We try to brand it through intelligence and like commitment and committing to do a show and doing the show, regardless of whether or not we feel like it. And there's a million other ways to brand yourself, let you into our lives and see the beach in the back and share all this stuff. But a glam shot, who the hell wants a glam shot
of
me?
Imagine?
Or really, you know, or Jill.
That's funny.
Again, Lucas, I'm not picking on you. I just, you know.
Glam shots got made me laugh.
I don't understand the psychology behind that.
I do. I just told you. I think it's a worthwhile question, and we answered it.
Then, let's think about this. Let's say that is effective. What would you look like that would make you make them sign it? Imagine these people that get the rural land people are already like cowboy hat wearing. They come from that.
Well, here's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of companies that have a photo and don't. Does Pepsi have a photo? Do we know what the guy looks like? Hell, no. Does Apple put Steve Jobs' head on there? That would be fun. No. Does Microsoft put Bill Gates on there? No. So I kind of look at things like that.
I think you're right.
Okay. So I guess, so for me, it might take a little bit of the professionalism out of it.
That's a nice way to say
and
it.
And making you look too much like that's my only thing. I don't want to be misconstrued for a real estate agent because I'm not. I fight that all the time. I have to tell people all the time, I am not an agent. It's not a commission thing. I really do own the property. I get to call the shots. And then they go, oh, it's a whole different thing, and in a positive way.
What I do think, and we've long said this for years, and long done it for years with a huge amount of success, is put your website on there. The first thing they're going to do is research you. It's going to pop up. They're going to go to your website, or hopefully, if you're doing everything right, they're going to Google you. No one's going to type in your URL.
Right.
They're going to Google you. They're going to find you, hopefully, quickly. Click on it, and there's going to be a cool, not a glam shot or a headshot, a picture of you with your dog or your woman doing something that's very normal, that says, hey, I'm a regular person. We buy and sell land. It's nothing special. We're happy to, this is real, and we're going to get you the money that you want. That's what they want to know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it right there on the, I can see the thousands of people that open that letter and it's what Jill said.
You know what I would do? I would toss it because I would think it's another real estate flyer.
So
now that you mention it.
So would I.
That's what could happen.
Anytime, here's what Jill was dead right when she said, well, everybody else is doing it, it must work. I've been looking at images of real estate agents on their cards and their marketing stuff since they're only black and white pictures. They've been doing it that long. Anytime something is that old from a marketing standpoint, I mean, think about what's changed, the vehicles that have changed from a marketing perspective since 1970.
Mm-hmm.
There's the internet, first of all, and all the ways to market on the internet and drive traffic and, you know, click-throughs and all that didn't exist back then. There were printing presses, literally, with carbon copy back then.
You know, at the end of the day,
carbon copy.
At the end of the day, I'm not going to pick you, Lucas, because of your picture. I'm not going to want to sell my property to you because of the picture. I'm going to want to sell my property to you because I need the money and you hit me up at the right time and I like the price.
Thank you, Jill.
That's the bottom line.
In fact, it's going to have the opposite
effect.
You
don't even go there. And that's true. It might piss people off.
And color printing is about 14 times more expensive. We own offers to owners.
Mm-hmm.
Color printing is at least 10 times more expensive than monochrome. So, kudos. I love that you're thinking out of the box, and I hope you continue to do that. But I think that focusing on yourself instead of focusing on the real estate deal and the economics of the real estate deal specifically is not how to advance yourself in this career. That's as nice as I can put it. Again,
exactly.
Not picking on you. Today's topic, sticking to a calendar schedule is and how it's imperative in your real estate career. This is the meat of the show. As I mentioned in the pre-show, this is a very, very popular topic. And for some, I enjoy it. That's the truth. Jill does not.
And I don't enjoy what?
The calendar aspect of this and the scheduling and the doing stuff on time and on.
Well, I do.
Well, I'm not sure you enjoy like talking about it like I do.
That I don't. That part's true. I'm like, just do it, everyone. Why is it so hard? Just put it in the calendar and talk about it. We don't need to feel it. Just put it in there and move on.
Every single minute of your day, including free time and horsing around, should be in your calendar.
I don't do because it changes.
That's the problem. You nailed it.
So well, here's, you know what? Here's what I'm going to put free time. I'm going to put free time all over my calendar.
So here's what I see. I see people scheduling. I'm just going to give you like a brush overview of a like my schedule. In the morning, it's like there's a time to get up. There's a time to exercise. There's a time. And then there's a pre-time to check your email and stuff in the morning. And then there's, let's say, mailer research, and on and on and on it goes down. And the first mistake I see people make, the first rookie mistake is, whatever you scheduled between 10 and 11 o'clock in the morning didn't go as planned. Because nothing ever goes as planned. Ever. So between 10 and 11, 11 becomes 11:30, 11:30 becomes 12. Now the schedule's wrecked, so if you're scheduling at all, you're moving stuff around. And what you need to do, and what I do, I think with a pretty high degree of success, is I stop. At 10, 11, if it's not done, I stop. And I go on to what's scheduled at 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And I move what was unfinished to the next day. And so it becomes a slotting, like from 10 to 11 every day, I'm working on mailer research or whatever. After 5 o'clock, from 5 to like 8 or 9, let's say, or 10, it's horsing around time. Or if you need a break, I don't know what your personal thing is, but if you need a break in the middle of the day, schedule it. Schedule lunchtime. I heard an episode of Ellen DeGeneres one time, a long time ago, had an expert on her show about weight loss. And she said, weight loss, oh, that's simple. All you got to do is have a little notebook or on your phone, write down everything that you eat, and you're going to find out exactly why you're gaining or losing weight. And Ellen looked at her and looked at the camera and said, that will never, ever happen, ever. No one who's watching this show will write down what they eat and be honest with themselves about it. And a whole audience started clapping. That's the same thing with scheduling. The vast, vast majority of people, and I believe that Jill's in this group, are repulsed by organizing themselves this much and holding themselves accountable to this level of performance. So people constantly are asking us, it's usually in interviews, how can you guys get all this stuff done? That's how, by scheduling. But I won't leave my desk at the end of the day if there's nothing in my inbox. Your email inbox is the biggest source of distraction there ever was. I know most people use their inbox as their to-do list. So if stuff comes in, it's like, oh, I got to deal with that, or I have to deal with that now. And I think that's really not good. What I do is it all comes in and I schedule it out and I deal with it in a block of time in the future, or unless it's some kind of fire. And even then I got to move stuff. You move it across, not down.
I think what makes us different from other people, it's more than just a schedule. It's more than just it's 3 o'clock. It doesn't matter. It's sitting down and doing it. We can sit down here and argue for 2 hours and not have a show. We have done that. Sit down for 2 hours. Started happening today.
It's not going to happen on this show for sure, but some of those shows, I don't mean the argument, I mean in the high ratings.
But
some of our highest rated shows are you and I yelling at each other.
Yeah. But you can always tell how close we're sitting together or not. So if you're not watching right now, you should check this out on YouTube. So
are we far apart?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. I can tell where you put my chair when you set up today versus where you often put my chair. Oh, you didn't put my chair right next to you, baby. My chair's a few inches away.
Because that's because you wanted a camera angle that was more suitable to your torso.
That's not the reason. Anyway. But
it's absolutely
my
reason.
Point of this is...
like 100% of the
it's
reason.
Sitting down and doing stuff. You're sitting here. You just have to do it. It's hard. I know
it's not hard.
Please let me finish. I let you speak.
Wow.
Come on. Let me
finish.
Why
is it hard?
It's for a lot of people, some of these tasks surrounding our business, surrounding any business, are hard. You say you want to open an online store tomorrow, and you want to be, you're learning all about X. I don't care what it is. It could be Gopher Traps. We talked about that. We have a friend that had that company. And, you know, there's an element of learning about Gopher Traps. Who buys them, what the market is, you know, what they search for, and then pricing the product correctly. So you're starting this online business. What you got to sit down and figure out what's all needed. And then the hardest part, I think, is the putting the list into action and holding yourself accountable. That's the piece. I was listening to somebody's podcast the other day. They were starting a billion-dollar company. They're here in Southern California. And to be marketing experts for several other companies. They happen, the main guy who's driving the ship and paying the bills happened to be in a similar business as ours. He kind of took a step back. His bank balance was doing just great. So he took a step back and started looking at other things. And what was interesting about this podcast I was listening to is that they had to bring in an operations people because there's three of them that are real high-level visionaries. They have all these great ideas. They put all this stuff down, but then they don't act on them. And they don't hold themselves accountable. They're not picking dates. They're not showing up. So they actually had to bring in a separate operations person who's not this
surprise,
good.
Surprise, surprise.
Right? To kind of hold their feet to the fire. So I don't care who you are or how smart you are or what level you are in your business. If you're just this visionary, you still got to get the stuff done. So for you, it's putting it in a calendar. So I argue, too, it's more than just a calendar. You have to have that. For me, it's having a conversation with myself and saying, I know it sucks, Jill. Here's what you're doing today. You're going to get up and do X, Y, and Z. That's it. And you know what? It may not be perfect, but you're going to do it. Maybe it's, for the Gopher company. The website has to get done. You can't just say, I need a website, outsource it, and let somebody do it, by the way. You have to hold them accountable to your timeline and make sure it's good. I mean, there's so many moving parts. So I love that it starts with a calendar. That's what I think. It starts with a calendar for, I think, maybe for you. But like I said, for me, it's really deeper. And if you can't do that, I don't care what it is.
Well, the name of the show is Sticking to a Calendar Schedule.
Right. I know.
I think that implies like doing the stuff that's in your calendar.
I know. But I keep going to, you have to have a conversation with yourself. If you're not sticking to a calendar schedule, why you're not? That's...
What do you think some reasons are that you're not sticking to the calendar? Let's say you watch the program. I'll use us as an example. Land investing as an example. You watch the program. It's all there. We all know it's all there. There's no questioning that. There's like hundreds and hundreds of people over the years, thousands of people that have succeeded at this with this education program. So you watch the program and you sit down and follow the step-by-step stuff that we've outlined. What are some valid reasons why it doesn't happen?
They don't do it. You know why? Because I'll tell you why. Because of what was on there. Today I'm doing mailers. Mailer Monday becomes Mailer Tuesday, becomes Mailer Wednesday,
why?
Becomes Mailer Thursday, becomes Mailer Friday, becomes because they don't hold themselves accountable. That's my point. You can't, at some point, you can't keep doing that. You can't say Mailer Monday is now Mailer August, and now it's Mailer September. You can't do that. You got to hold yourself accountable. That's really kind of it. And if you can't do that, if it's too big of a task, that's what I think some people do too. Now it's too big of a task. Fine, break it into chunks and make that your new calendar. I'm really trying to help people and get them, if you're not, because it's really easy to sit up here and talk about it, but for a lot of people, they just can't do it, you know?
I think it's really, really important to decompose what needs to get done, whatever you're trying to accomplish, into the tiniest of little tasks and schedule everything out. And then if it doesn't happen, because again, stuff goes wrong. Things, it takes some people a really long time to do a mailer, which I completely understand. It takes some people a really long time to get the phone answering system in place. You know, or maybe those phone answering people, it doesn't take that long to do the mailer, or vice versa. You have to, that's why I say from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, not, oh, that didn't, it, I'm not as good at the mailer. It took me a lot. It's going to take me a lot longer than 2 hours. All right, reschedule it. You will get it done. You'll get all that stuff done if you can decompose it into the tiniest little steps.
That's what I think. And that's what I do, and I like that
too. Here's the second component to this. Mm-hmm. I know the show's going long, but it's really important. This is actually really important for me. It's what changed my life when I met Jill. I didn't realize it, but I was doing a lot of stuff that I despised. And so there's only so long that you can do that before you just either give up or something. In my case, it ended because I met a business partner and a life partner who was truly, truly, I'm not talking about salesmanship, interested in doing the stuff that I wasn't. And so now my calendar's got half as much stuff to do. I removed half of this stuff and put it onto her calendar, and she was happy doing it. She went off on her way. I didn't have to explain anything to her for some reason. It was just a very good partnership from start to finish, and it still is, regardless of how far apart we're sitting from each other today, because she's got some concept on that. We really are better together. So after you learn how to do all the stuff, whatever you're trying to do, you know, look at medical school for an example. People go to medical school, they have an academic portion, an internship portion, intern portion, then they start to work under somebody for a while, and they do all the stuff that doctors are supposed to do when they become a doctor. You know, I'm done with medical school doctor, they graduate. They have four levels of nurses that help them do stuff, the stuff that they had to do in the beginning. So you need to do that too. You need to get yourself a partner to do the stuff that you don't want to do. Or if you don't have enough money to fund the deals, put it in your schedule. Find a money partner from 2 to 3 today, Monday through Friday. I'm going to find a partner on Land Investors or Land Tank or House Tank or wherever you find money partners. If that's not a priority, you know, There's all kinds of stuff that needs to get done, and it needs to be scheduled and followed through on. And eventually, stage two is you realize, you know what? The stuff that I do from 3 to 4 every day is horrific. I hate it. Then you got to put it in the schedule, find somebody else to do it. There's nothing wrong with that. People have a real, especially in the Midwest, have a real, real issue with
handing things over?
Yeah. Looking at, no.
Oh.
Looking at themselves in the mirror and saying, I hate this and it sucks doing it every day. We are all, most of us, at least in my generation, from the Midwest, and probably East Coast too, taught that suffering is just part of life. And there's good with the bad and just all these cliches that don't have to necessarily be true.
I don't have that problem.
I know. I'll tell you the truth is, she doesn't stick to much of a schedule. She doesn't.
Oh, and it works out fine.
Well, your half does. What you do,
uh-huh,
I think works out great.
Oh, yeah. Because sometimes I'm ahead of schedule.
She also has.
I'm going to say that, too. You know, I look at my calendar. You know what I'll do? I'm going to be honest. I'm ahead of schedule sometimes. I'm going to take Friday off. What do I got to do? I'm going to work late tonight so I can take Friday off. Excellent. So sometimes I'm ahead of schedule. So I don't think it's a bad thing the way I do my schedule.
So let's just start. This is my experience when I talk about this. I asked this question. I saved it for last for a reason.
Okay.
How many people, you know, I do this at the live event. How many people even have a schedule? And maybe less than 10% of the people raise their hand. So let's just start with that. Get yourself into Outlook. That works for us because it's company-wide and we can all see each other's schedules. Get into Outlook and give yourself a schedule. And you're going to be shocked and amazed if you stick to it, the stuff you can get done.
Thank you. Happy you could join us today. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can find, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday. How about 5 days a week? Every day now, you can find us here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called How We Created Professional Land Investors from Individuals with Zero Experience. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. This was a show created by Jill and her staff because it's a very hot topic mm-hmm. for our customer service people.
Mm-hmm. People are going, how did this happen? And we're going to talk about it.
So I just talked myself dry on this topic. We're going to listen to Jill tomorrow explain to us how to create pros.
You're cute. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we appreciate your support. If you haven't already done so, please zip over to our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us create the type of content you're here for. Hitting the like button on your favorite episodes helps us support our channel's algorithm and gauge your interest for future shows. You know me, it's all about the data.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.